Book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. Begin reading with verse 13 through 17. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And the text is to be found in verse number 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the effectual call in salvation. The effectual call in salvation. Most of us were raised in an Arminian Baptist church where salvation was dependent on how many stanzas of Almost Persuaded were sung. The sermon would last 30 minutes and the invitation would last about 45 minutes. It was necessary to have a strong preacher, emotional stories, prolonged music, and much persuasion. However, the Bible teaches that salvation is the result of the effectual call of God to the sinner. Consider this. Two unsaved men are in an evangelistic church service. They're sitting side by side. Both are sinners. Both hear the singing and both hear the sermon. As the invitation is extended, one man comes to know the Lord while the other man walks away in unbelief. That has happened thousands of times. Why is that so? Is it because one sinner was worse than the other? Is it because one sinner had a stronger free will than the other? One man heard the call of God while the other man did not. The effectual call of God in salvation is clearly taught in the Scriptures. If it were not, I would not believe it so much. But it is taught heavily in the Scripture. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Make your calling sure. What is this calling? In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Note carefully, only the elect are given this calling. Holy brethren, partakers, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. In Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Not the hope of your calling, but the hope of His calling. In 1 Corinthians 1:26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Again, note, God does not give this calling to everybody. Verse makes that very, very clear. Last Sunday, I spoke to you on Romans 8:28. And there was a certain phrase in that promise that I did not elaborate on because I ran out of time. But I want to extend that part of that verse into this message today. We know that all things work together to them who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28 goes out to the called according to His purpose. In the passage we read from 2 Thessalonians, we see a beautiful picture of salvation by grace. And incidentally, that is the only way that God has ever saved a sinner, is by grace. He did not save by obedience to the law in the Old Testament, and then grace came out on the stage in the New Testament. Any sinner who's ever been saved was saved by the grace of God. In this passage we read for you, please notice verse 13, He chose us. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Not only did He choose us, but He changed us. Also in verse 13, through the sanctification of the Spirit. And then in verse 14, He called us. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 15, He confirmed us. That verse says this, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions that you've been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. And then He comforts us in closing out that passage in verse 17. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Out of these, I want to speak on His calling us. He called us. He called us in verse 14. It is an effectual calling because it led to the obtaining of glory. It brought about a desired effect. It did something. It was effectual, an effectual calling of God. Notice also there is a contrast in verses 11 and 12 and verses 13 and 14. Verses 11 and 12 reveal the effectual curse to believe a lie. Verses 11 and 13 say this, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We call that the effectual curse to believe a lie. Contrast that with verses 13 and 14. That reveals the effectual calling to believe the truth. We've been called to believe the truth. Now, first of all, the Scriptures distinguish between a general call and an effectual call. The Bible distinguishes between a general call and an effectual call. There is a general call for sinners to be saved. That's a fact. There is also an effectual call for sinners to be saved, and that is a fact. Let's spend a moment or two on the general call. What is the general call? It goes to all who hear the gospel with the ear and reject it. The gospel is in the hands of preachers, in the hands of missionaries, in the hands of Bible teachers who teach the Word of God, who preach the Word of God, who present the gospel of God. And so many times we see people turn a deaf ear to it and will not listen to it. Does that mean God is not calling? No, there is a general call of God for sinners to be saved. A general call. And it goes out. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:24, because I've called and you refused. He said, can a person refuse the general call of God? They do it all the time. They hear the call of God through the preaching of the gospel, but they hear it only with the ear. Paul said, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. He does not say with the eardrum, man believeth unto righteousness. The general call goes to the ear. It is rejected by men. The Lord says, I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. And he's speaking about the preaching of the gospel that goes out through the mouths of the prophets. There's a matchless scripture in Isaiah chapter 9 that I would share with you on that. Matthew chapter number 9. Pardon me, Isaiah. Let me get the reference right once again. It's in Isaiah chapter number 6, verses 9 and 10. You remember that Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up and finally said, who's going to go for us and who will preach for us and who will be obedient to us? And he said, go and tell this people. Now, he called Isaiah to preach and he said, when you get there, you tell them this. Hear ye indeed, but you don't understand. You're going to hear it. You're going to hear the truth, but you will not understand it. You will see it, but you will not perceive it. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted and I be healed. The same gospel that hardens clay, hardens and softens ice. The same gospel that results in sinners being saved also results in sinners being damned. Make their heart fat so they won't hear what a call to preach. I certainly didn't have anything like that when God called me to preach. And I don't know how much of that Isaiah was able to take in. God, why in the world you called me to preach if you're not going to let them hear? God said, because I'm the boss. I'm the sovereign one. The general call goes to all who hear the gospel with the ear, and they reject it. There is in Matthew chapter number 22, verse 14, many are called, but few chosen. And he's speaking there in relationship to those who are recipients of hearing the gospel preached. They hear it preached with an ear. Many are called, but few are chosen. The emphasis is more are called than are chosen. And my dear friends, there are many, many thousands and thousands and thousands of people today, if they're in any type of gospel church, are going to hear somewhat of a smack of the gospel. They're going to hear it, but very few will be chosen. Very few. They'll be called, but few are chosen. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Look at it, please. Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. He sent forth the servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And what happened? They would not come. He gave them a royal invitation, come to the wedding, but they would not come. The general call came out and they rejected it. Again, he sent forth other servants saying, tell them what you're bidden. Behold, I've prepared my dinner. That's what you call persuasion here. I prepared my dinner. I prepared my oxen. I prepared my fatling. The fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come on to the marriage. And they sang five more stanzas of an invitation. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And they took the remnant of his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. They said, we are not interested. You can turn down the general gospel, the general call of the gospel. It is that which falls on the ear and not on the heart. In Acts 17, verse 30, God's word, and this is so important, calls all men everywhere unto repentance. Isn't that what the verse says? God hath called all men everywhere to repent. There is a general call that goes out to every sinner in the world today, repent, repent. Repent. Do they repent? No, they do not. Why? Because it falls on the ear and they soon forget it. The general call of God goes to all men. The general call of God falls on the ear and the general call of God can be rejected. Now, the effectual call, that's a different matter. The effectual call goes to the elect, who hear the gospel and with a heart they receive it. In Luke chapter 14 verses 21 through 24. Speaking about the same thing we just got through reading in Matthew's account of it. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. What things? Well, we have gone, we have invited them, and nobody's interested in it. One man bought a piece of ground, one man married a wife, he couldn't come. But what does the Lord say? Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither. Don't just invite them, bring them in. The poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Now, you might ought to strap on your seatbelt here. There are several Greek words translated compel. This particular word means by force. You think about that for a moment. You compel them, if necessary, by force. Do you realize if you're a Christian today, it wasn't your idea? It was his idea. And you didn't come because you wanted to. You came because he wanted you to come. And applied such as was necessary to get what you were hearing in the ear to your heart, and you were drawn by the Holy Spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what salvation's about. It's not about man and his free will. It's about God and his holy sovereign will. The effectual call. 1 Corinthians 1:26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. This is an effectual calling, and not many are called with that kind of calling. They may be called generally by preachers of the gospel, but not all are called effectually by the Holy Spirit of God. I used to blame myself if after every sermon, sinners did not make a public declaration of faith in Jesus Christ. I would go home and many times I would cry, saying, "Lord, what did I do? What should I have done? What more could I do? Was there something in my message, Lord, that drove people away?" And I was always blaming myself. And I stopped doing that when I began to realize that salvation is of the Lord. It is by the Lord. It is for the Lord. And God doesn't need a smart preacher to help him save people. My dear friends, if he used Balaam's ass, and he's used Balaam's ass so many times in pulpits across America, God's going to save his people from their sins. You need to put that down. We're talking about what God's going to do. And that's truth. And that's truth. It is an effectual calling. An effectual calling. In Hebrews 3:1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling." It is a heavenly calling which is effectual. Not the pulpit calling. It is a heavenly calling. In 2 Timothy 1:9, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling." This is to be differentiated from a general call. I've used this before. I want to use it again because it so clearly illustrates what I am stumbling at trying to preach today. B.H. Carroll founded Southwestern Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. He was a brilliant man, had a brilliant heart, and loved the Lord and loved the doctrines of grace. B.H. Carroll said and likened in a message that the general call was like sheet lightning. It goes all over the skies, but it doesn't strike anything. Have you ever seen sheet lightning before? I mean, you'd be outside, and especially so at night when you can see it more clearly, it seems like the heavens light up, and there's at a distance sheet lightning, sheet lightning, sheet lightning. A tree's never knocked over with sheet lightning. It never hits anything. He said, that's what the general call is like. And when we stand and preach the Word of God, it's like sheet lightning. It is the Word of God, to be sure. But it takes more than the preacher preaching it. It takes the power effectually called by the Holy Spirit. The effectual call is like forked lightning. There's a difference in sheet lightning and forked lightning. Forked lightning is when you see it coming down out of heaven, all the way down and hitting something, and it makes this loud boom. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit calls sinners to be saved. They will be saved. The lightning strikes that which it was sent to attack. John Bunyan, almost as good as that, likens the general call to the clucking of a hen. Now, you got to have some chickens to appreciate this. The clucking of a hen whose chicks may or may not listen to her. You ever notice the clucking of a hen? And the chickens are doing, the little bitties are doing anything they want to do. But all of a sudden that hen looks up and sees a hawk soaring over, getting ready to pounce on her babies. And she stops clucking and starts cackling. And when she starts cackling, you can hear it all over the barnyard. Wah, 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 wah. And all the little biddies come running to her, hiding underneath her feathers. That is effectual. And may I say to you today, if you're not a Christian, my dear friends, they may not even sing stanza one of an invitation, but if you ever hear the call of God in your soul, you will come to Christ. The effectual call. My mother, don't like to tell it, but to illustrate it, I have to be honest with you. She called me Danny. I hate that name, Danny. Just didn't like that. But she called me Danny. And many, many times I'd be out in the yard or down at the neighbor's house or out in the field playing with some other kids. And she would call me for supper. And she would say, Danny, it's supper time, son. Come on home. You say, well, I know you obeyed. No, I disobeyed. Didn't want to come home. I'd rather play baseball with the kids. And I just stayed where I was. And she might try that one more time. Danny, it got nothing. No response. But I tell you, when she raised her voice and said, Daniel Watts Cozart, you better get yourself here, boy. Do you hear me? I stopped what I was doing. I made a beeline to go home. Let me tell you something, dear friends. There's no substitute for the effectual working of the sinner on the sinner by the Holy Spirit to bring that sinner to Jesus Christ. And you will come. Oh, if they just sung one more stanza. No, you wouldn't come if they sung 1,000 stanzas. You're not interested in it. All you're hearing is what you hear with your ears. God speaks to your heart in the effectual call. And you don't need an invitation. As a matter of fact, I want the invitation of this church to always be in the sermon itself. Because when you preach the gospel, you're calling men and women to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. That's the invitation. Can we contrast the two calls? The general call alongside of the effectual call? The general call is outward, while the effectual call is inward. The general call is to the ear when the effectual call is to the heart. The general call is earthy. The effectual call is heavenly. The general call is from the preacher. The effectual call is from God. The general call is resistible. The effectual call is irresistible. The general call is rejected, while the effectual call results in faith. It is, as I said, irresistible. Now, the nature of the effectual call, the nature of it. It is personally directed. Personally directed. You know, I hear so much about God loves everybody. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. And God's love goes out to everybody. The effectual call goes to the individual. To the individual. It is personally directed. It was directed to Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. He was but a child. His mother said, if God will give me a baby, I will give that baby back to the Lord. God gave her Samuel, and she returned Samuel to the Lord. He was in the temple or in the tabernacle worshiping with Eli the priest. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious, scarce in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out of the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Samuel was fast asleep. That the Lord called Samuel. That's call number one. Verse number 6, and the Lord called yet again Samuel. Why? Because when he called him the first time, Samuel woke up and he went to Eli. He said, sir, what did you call me for? Eli said, I didn't call you. And he went back to sleep, and the Lord woke him up and called him the second time. He goes back to Eli the second time and says, what did you call me for? And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And every time he goes to Eli and says, why have you called me? Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. I do love sometimes God calls us and uses our names twice. Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. It was personally directed to Samuel, nobody else. Personally directed. Personally directed with Paul on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, verse number 4. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He wasn't talking about everybody. He was talking to one man, Saul. God wanted one man. God's going to get that one man. Personally directed. Lazarus was commanded to come forth. Someone has said, if the Lord had not said, Lazarus, come forth, everybody in the graveyard to come forth. He said, come forth. But he directed it only to one corpse. Lazarus. Come forth. You know what? Lazarus said, Lord, don't you think it's a little early in the morning? I mean, I didn't sleep well last night. No. He woke him up. He stood him up. And he got him out of the tomb. That's what you call effectual. Zacchaeus was commanded to come down from the tree. He climbed this tree so he could get a better advantage of this man Jesus coming down the road to Jericho. And when Christ came right where the tree was located to the side, he looked up in the tree and he said, Lazarus, come down. And Lazarus said, Lord, sing one more stanza, just one more stanza. Maybe if somebody would pray a little bit, maybe get the Kleenex out, if we could just cry a little bit, maybe. Let me tell you what, nobody had to persuade him to come down. He came down. Didn't he? Maybe we need to teach this in our Sunday school adult classes. Seems like the kids know more about this than the adults do. When the Lord Jesus came to Bethany, Lazarus was already dead, and Mary and Martha were perturbed because they did not understand why he had not come earlier. Lord, if you had only come, we would not have had to give Lazarus up to death. And the Lord in this word teaches this in John 11, 28, 29. She, that is Martha, immediately left what she was doing and went to Christ. And as scripture said, she arose quickly and came unto him and fell down at his feet. What did he say? Mary, the master calleth for thee. The master calleth for thee. It is not only personally directed, it is powerfully directed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, our gospel came not into you, unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. In Psalm 110, verse number 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Not in the day of my free will, but in the day of thy power, I will be willing. And my dear friends, if you know the Lord today, you know this, that you weren't willing until God made you willing. And when you saw the truth with your heart, no team of horses could have kept you away from the Lord. Matter of fact, you wouldn't have just come down the aisle. If anybody tried to be an obstacle, you'd jump the pews to come to Christ, if that were necessary, which it is not. It is productively directed. Productively directed. What does it mean? It means it produces. The effectual call will always produce what it's designed to do, and that's to get sinners to hear with their heart the gospel. In John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now, who said that? The Lord Jesus Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Have you ever stopped to think about this? Obviously, He doesn't give everybody. Huh? All that the Father giveth me, they're going to come to me. Now, you approach two horns. You approach a dilemma here. First of all, you've got to say, well, the Father gave everybody to Christ. Then everybody's going to be saved. Because all that the Father giveth me, they're going to come to me. Why is it that people won't come to Him? God didn't give them to the Son. In John 10:16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. And there will be one shepherd and one fold. And in that beloved 10th chapter of John, verses 26 and 27, Christ said, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. My sheep, what does it say? Hear my voice. Goats don't hear the voice of the shepherd, and goats don't respond, but the sheep do. Not only is it productively directed, it is privately directed. C.D. Cole made this statement. What a tremendous statement it is. The power of conversion is not in the inspiration or the perspiration of the preacher, but it is in the illumination and regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It's not something you see with the eye. There's no publicity. There's no fanfare. It is secretly performed by the Holy Spirit in the soul of the believer. First church I ever pastored, New Live Oak Church in Merkel, Texas. Young man by the name of J.E. Meeks was my song leader, and he did a good job. On this particular Sunday, J.E. got up to speak, or got up to lead the singing, and he got through the first stanza, and then he began to sniffle, and tears began to come out of his eyes, and he began to bawl like a baby. He said, folks, I can't do this anymore. God called me to preach, and I've got to preach His Word. And to my knowledge, that man is still preaching the Word of God today. I talked with his daddy. I talked with his mama. Did you know that he'd been wrestling with this? No. I talked to members of the church. We had no earthly idea he was going through this. Because it's done secretly in the heart between the Spirit of God and the unbeliever. It's not everybody's business. It's your business because you're doing business with God. Finally, the necessity of the effectual call. Why does there need to be an effectual call? Because of man's condition. His natural condition without the salvation of the Lord. And that is, he's depraved. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. The sinner has no understanding of spiritual things. Now, he may be able to relate to chemistry. He may be able to relate to various different branches of education, but he has no understanding of spiritual things. That's what the Bible says. His understanding has been darkened. According to 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the sinner has no understanding of spiritual things. How can he respond? I've tried to talk to the animal kingdom before. I don't get very far, especially when it's made up of ants, big, old, fat, ugly, red ants. And I have talked to them before. And I found this out, and it didn't take me long to discover it. They don't know a thing in the world I'm saying. And I don't know a thing in the world they're saying. Because we don't communicate. We're on different channels altogether. And that unsaved man is on a different frequency, my dear friends. He can't understand the spiritual things that you and I accept as truth every Sunday because his mind won't allow him to do it. The sinner has no understanding of spiritual things. The sinner's heart has been hardened and not and has no will or desire for God. Where is that? John 5:40. Christ said, "You will not come to me that you might have life." If they will not come, then God's going to have to compel them to come. And he knows how to compel them. The sinner's mind, thirdly, is in consistent enmity against God. Left to himself, I believe he'd die in his sins. If God had passed you by, my dear friends, instead of stopping and having mercy on you, you'd never have been saved in a million years. You don't qualify. You can't earn it. You can't do enough. You can't keep enough law. You can't save yourself. And if God had not stopped you in your steps and saved you by his grace, you wouldn't be saved today. It's not in a church. It's not in a baptistry. It's not in the Lord's Supper or communion. We may see a lost man ignore and reject the gospel time after time. Then later, he is saved. I've seen that before. You're looking at it as a classic example. I rejected the gospel time after time after time. And one day, I heard it. Bingo. I heard it. The gospel did not change, my dear friends. The Holy Spirit directed it from my ear to my heart, and when it hit my heart, I understood it. And you've got to have that in order to come to the Lord. The preacher might be the same. It's not the gospel. That's the same. Then why is it that some men wait year after year after year, and they're brought up in church, children are brought up in church, and they hear the gospel over and over again, and maybe they're 60 years old or out yonder in the future somewhere where they say, "You know what? I'm a sinner and I need for the Lord to save me." May have. Well, why'd you wait 60 years? Because they couldn't get it. Couldn't get it. The answer must be in the effectual call of the Holy Spirit. I believe that's truth. Let's stand, please, for prayer.